This is a meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. It is 9 o'clock on Thursday, January 10th, 2019. This meeting is being held in the Commission Hearing Room 1025 at 210 North, 1950 West, Salt Lake City, Utah. Participating this morning are myself, John O. Valentine, Commission Chair, Michael J. Cragen, Commissioner, Rebecca L. Rockwell, Commissioner, Lawrence C. Walters, Commissioner, and Scott W. Smith, Executive Director. The first item on the agenda this morning is public comments for individuals or groups wishing to address the commissioners for up to 3 minutes on matters not relating to a pending or recently imminent appeal to the Tax Commission. Is there anyone who wishes to address the commission at this time? Seeing none, we'll go to the next item on the agenda. Next item is consider approval of the commission meeting minutes of December 13th, 2018. And I recognize Commissioner Walters on this item.
I move we approve the commission meeting minutes of December 13th, 2018.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Rule of passage unanimously. The minutes are approved. Next item is considering amending Administrative Rule R884-24P-27, Standards for Assessment Level and Uniformity of Performance pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Section 59-2-704 and 59-2-704.5. Recognize Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. The following rule was published in the Utah Bulletin on December 1st, 2018, and the public comment period ended on January 2nd, 2019. We did not receive any public comments on this rule. Standards for Assessment Level and Uniformity of Performance. The amendment states that the permissible measure of central tendency is reduced from within 10% to within 5% of the legal level of assessment for countywide residential property in counties of the first through fourth class.
So that everyone recognizes, this is something that was recommended by our legislative auditors in the last legislative audit that they had of this Utah State Tax Commission. And this is following through on that recommendation. Any other further comments before I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion?
Thank you. I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R884-24P-27, Standards for Assessment Level and Uniformity of Performance.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Debate on the motion. Seeing no debate on the motion, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Roulette passes unanimously. The rule is approved. Next item on the agenda, consider Tax Commission positions on pending legislation. This is House Bill 25. And I again recognize Commissioner Rockwell to the extent that she still has a voice.
Yeah, thank you. This bill extends the authorization for the State Tax Commission to hold a meeting that is not open to the public to provide guidance to its employees on the interpretation and application of a law administered by the Commission from May 9, 2019 to May 9, 2024. And requires the State Tax Commission to provide an electronic report of the meetings to the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee on or before September 30th, 2020 and 2023.
Thank you. This is an extension of the Senate Bill 17 provisions dealing with how the Tax Commission follows its constitutional obligation of administering and supervising the tax laws of the state of Utah. Does anyone else have any comments on this before we go to a motion?
Does that mean we have to change the name of our meetings from Senate Bill SB 17 to HB 25?
I think that's a good point. We ought to figure out a different name to call it because we're going to be calling the Senate Bill 17 meetings in perpetuity, and everybody's going to say, where did that come from? No one's thought of a good name. Normally, government agencies put acronyms on things. I didn't want to do an acronym. So if somebody comes up with a good idea name for this process, that would be very helpful. I see no further debate or comment, so let's go to Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move that the Commission support House Bill 25, Tax Commission Amendments.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, that passes unanimously also. And we will take a public position in support of this bill. Now, the next item on the agenda is to consider publication revisions. We have four publication revisions. The first is Publication 36, Property Tax Abatement, Deferral, and Exemption Programs for Individuals. The second one, Publication 27, Taxation of Primary Residential Property. Third one is Publication 19, Business Personal Property Audits. Next one is Publication 20, Business Personal Property Taxes. Does anyone in the public have comments on the publication revisions? I see none. We'll go on to the next training, next item. Next item is the annual training for Open and Public Meeting Acts, and I will turn to Commissioner Cragen, our resident experts on OPMA.
Thank you. So public bodies are required to have annual training to get an update on, get a reminder and an update that they have to follow the law. I'll just show this, that in a nutshell, what the law says is that when a quorum of a public body meets to discuss or act on a subject over which the body has jurisdiction or advisory power, it has to follow this law. That's the training in a nutshell. The law provides that there are certain ways, certain things that have to be done in order to conduct an open meeting, giving notice to the public, having agendas, making recordings, providing minutes, and if you want to have electronic meetings, to adopt an ordinance. We've done that, and Jennifer pretty much takes care of everything else for us. Now, no public body is required to have, well, let me rephrase that. Most public bodies are not required to have closed meetings, but all public bodies may have a closed meeting as long as they follow certain regulations. They have to start in an open meeting. There's a list of permitted topics, and they have to announce the topic that they're going to discuss. There are some topics that they're not permitted to discuss at all. Has to be a public vote to go into the meeting. While they're in closed meeting, they can't take any action, or which means they can't vote on anything, with one exception, and all of the closed meetings must be required. And then the public body would return to an open meeting if they needed to vote on something. Now, there are some exceptions to what constitutes a meeting. Sending out a group text message to everyone does not constitute a meeting. If we all happen to run into each other at City Creek, that's not a public meeting. That's a chance gathering. Next week when we attend Dan Eng's retirement party, we don't have to post an agenda or a notice for that because that's a social gathering. And then some other exceptions that apply to mostly county commissions and the new Transit District Utah. The bill that we just talked about, House Bill 25, actually references the confidential tax matters. That's one of the carve-outs, is especially for us. Now, the important thing to notice is that with at least the first three of those, a public body can't use those as a way to get around the public meeting law. So sending out a group message is okay. Asking everybody to vote by a group message is not okay. Or deciding at a social gathering, hey, this is who we ought to hire, that's probably not compliant with the law either. Legislature does make annual updates. I've seen that there are bills already filed for the 2019 legislative session that will deal with the Open and Public Meetings Act. Probably the most significant one on here for us is that the required training must be available online. So if you want a copy of this training, I think Jennifer will be posting it on the Open Meetings website, and you can look at it there. The state auditor also provides a electronic online version. And the other things there just kind of defines what is and what is not a public body, when specific bodies are created or something like that happens. The law is updated to specify how it should be treated. And my favorite at the end is that the legislature exempts itself from these laws. That is the end of the annual training. Congratulations for surviving. I am happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of Commissioner Cragen regarding Open and Public Meetings Act? Thank you, Commissioner Cragen, for keeping track of us on this and doing the annual updates and annual meetings. That's really helpful to have, make certain that we are doing that. Next item on the agenda is Commissioner's Reports. I've asked Commissioner Walters to give a brief presentation as to some of the things that we've done the last 3 days in our annual midwinter meeting with the Federation of Tax Administrators. Commissioner Walters.
Thank you. Commissioner Valentine and I traveled to the winter meeting of the FTA. The Multi-State Tax Commission was also present. Their executive director and a number of their staff were there. It was my first time attending this meeting, and I found it to be personally very rewarding and informative. We talked about there were formal presentations describing the these national organizations and the programs and services that they offer, and it was very helpful to hear those presentations. Probably even more helpful to actually meet the people who administer those programs and deliver those services. We also had presentations from a number of commissioners who were there talking about a variety of issues. I raised the question about, since we had, Commissioner Valentine and I had attended a meeting the Monday morning before we left, the Utah Taxpayers Association, at which gas tax and alternatives to the gas tax were being considered. It was an issue that I raised with the other states, and was informed that there were other states that had pursued this and put together a fair amount of information, and that's being forwarded to me. So that kind of exchange of information between states, I think, is facilitated by these organizations and these meetings, and I found that very helpful. Another one that was particularly helpful, I hope, there was conversation around the PLR process and how states have been reforming that, try to make it a little more streamlined. Again, that information has been compiled by Minnesota, is being forwarded to us, and we'll review that and see what we can learn from that. On an informal level, it was helpful to talk to commissioners from other states about issues and the way they were being dealt with in those states. I raised with one commissioner a particular situation that we're facing here in Utah that we've talked about as a commission, and he immediately said not only did he know the situation, he knew the company I was talking about, and said this is how they'd handled it in his state, and it had been very successful. And so that kind of informal exchange in the hallways was extremely helpful as well. We also were sensitized to the issue of commercial fraud and how individuals are fabricating companies and using those fabricated companies to try to fraudulently obtain resources from revenue agencies across the country. That was very helpful as well. So all in all, I found it a very productive meeting personally. It was very educational for me. It was very helpful to get to know our peers across the country and to begin this exchange of information, which I'm sure has been going on for a long time before I got here, but to get plugged into that was extremely helpful. So I really appreciated the opportunity to be there.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Walters. It really was a very good meeting. In fact, I had a couple of takeaways as well. The Joel Huddleston, who is an icon that everyone knows, who's presently with Ernst & Young, but previously was the executive director of the Federation of Tax Administrators, in commenting regarding a particular tax situation quoted a song from the Kings of Leon. The song is called Comeback Story. The quote is, "I walked a mile in your shoes, and now I'm a mile away, and I've got your shoes." It was a very, very poignant comment at the appropriate time, because it was really trying to address issues of how we deal with tax collection and how we try to communicate with our constituencies, the taxpayers. And I just thought it was a very appropriate comment at the appropriate time. Another thing that I thought was really, really interesting was a presentation on the VAT tax in Europe and in South America. They are now being paid in real time as the transaction is completed. So the transaction is completed, the VAT tax is paid, and the tax is remitted in real time. They don't wait for the month. They don't wait for the year. They don't wait for a quarterly payment. They pay it real time. And apparently it's now starting to catch on over in the East, the Far East, including in Indonesia. And New York has indicated they're doing some modeling for them to do a very similar thing in New York with their sales tax and with their room taxes. I'm going to be interested to watch to see how that goes over, because one of the things I think our vendors get, in addition to the vendor discount, is they get the float. The float is at least a month of float, but nevertheless, it is a float, and it is has value, and it does help offset the costs that they have for doing business by clearing through credit cards. I think this is an issue we'll be probably having to spend some more time on as we listen to vendors' concerns about remote sales collections. And so I pass that on as a new idea that has come out of this particular meeting that I thought had some interesting concepts to be looking at. Now, finally, one of the presenters, I think it was Vicky from Washington State, talked about what they called the Leo principle. Or maybe it was Noni Manning from New York. I can't remember who was presenting it, but they talked about the Leo principle when it comes to tax collection. The legal, ethical, and optical things that we do as we collect our taxes. And they were making the presentation that sometimes we are legal and ethical, but our optics are all wrong, and so we take criticism even though we shouldn't be taking criticism. I thought that was a particularly poignant presentation as well. So with that, that was completes my commissioner report. Anything else from Commissioner Cragen or Commissioner Rockwell?
I have nothing.
Commissioner Rockwell, I know your voice is not real good, but would you give us a status report of the issue that you presented yesterday in the Administrative Rules Committee?
Yes.
The legislature?
So in our November commission meeting, when we approved Rule 33 that will take effect on January 1 of 2019, we discussed whether to respond to a letter that was sent by Salt Lake and Davis counties asking for a repeal of the 50% adjustment for refineries that was enacted back in 2006. Because of regulations that were promulgated by the EPA. And the county's position was that the adjustment was enacted because some refineries were going to have to install the pollution control equipment more quickly than others, and that the adjustment was necessary to create a more equal playing field between those refineries. So the county argued that now that all of the refineries have installed the pollution control equipment, that adjustment is no longer necessary. And in addition to that, they raised the issue that it may be a property tax exemption that is not authorized by the Utah Constitution. But because this had fiscal impact and was a long-standing tax commission practice, and because industry hadn't had an opportunity to weigh in on the issue, we decided that rather than taking action on it at this point at a commission level, we would kick that issue up to the legislature. So we made a motion to send letters to both the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee chairs as well as the Administrative Rule Review Commission chairs. And the Administrative Rule Review Commission asked us to present on it yesterday, which we did. We did not take any position as to how the committee should act, other than that we felt like they should consider reviewing it and giving the commission guidance on how to proceed. The committee kind of quickly started to take the position that maybe a repeal of the adjustment should be put into the Administrative Rules Reauthorization Bill, but because they didn't have a quorum, we sauntered at the beginning of the meeting, and it gave me an opportunity to talk to the chairs and explain the issue further. So it's clear to me that they understand that industry may have an opinion on this that they'll express during the legislative session. But the committee ultimately took a motion to repeal the authorization in the Administrative Rule Reauthorization Bill. And that in the event that there was pushback from industry during the session, that the Administrative Rules Review Committee would then put this issue on study for the 2019 interim. So that's where it stands. We will just continue to watch and monitor that legislation as it goes through the session and respond to any issues that arise with industry.
Very good. Thank you very much. That completes commissioners' reports. The next item on the agenda is Executive Director's Report, and I recognize our Executive Director, Scott Smith.
Thank you. The IRS sent us an email this week that they are going to open up their systems for filing of individual income taxes on January 28th. We coincide our opening of our system to match that of the IRS, so we will be opening the Utah system for processing of income tax returns on January 28th. And we're ready today. We've been ready since the middle of December that we could comply whenever the IRS went live. I just like to publicly thank all of those staff employees that have worked on getting us, preparing us for the income tax season, from the returns themselves, the forms, instructions, testing, the changes to our system. It was a group effort, and with this year, the federal changes, it's been a bigger impact on us. So thank you to the staff, and a pre-thank you to all of the employees and staff that will be processing the income tax returns over the next 3 months. Over the next 3 months, we will be processing close to 1.5 million income tax returns. So thank you to the divisions and all the employees that will be processing these. And thank you to the citizens. Last year, we had a little over 87% of income tax returns that were filed electronically. And that saves the citizens money because it is less expensive and more accurate because they go through edits on the on electronic filing. So I'd like to thank the citizens of Utah as well.
Excellent. Thank you. That completes our agenda. Is there anything else that Commissioner would like to raise before we go to the final motion? Seeing none, I recognize Commissioner Cragen.
Move that we adjourn.
Motion is to adjourn. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Well, it passes unanimously. We're adjourned.